If you want to be part of the program, participation is appreciated and encouraged. You can send us an email to gardentalkradio@gmail.com. That's gardentalkradio@gmail.com. Or if you would like to communicate with us via your voice, you can give us a call on the Proclamation Hotline brought to you by Proclamation Goods. That number is 1-800-927-SHOW. 1-800-927-7469. Toll free, coast to coast.
Proclamation Goods creates cookware for the eco-conscious home chef. Their pans are non-toxic, have a lifetime warranty, and are made in Wisconsin. Their award-winning stainless steel Proclamation Duo cookware set is a 12-inch skillet and a stock pot that doubles as a wok. Best of all, the skillet and stock pot hinge together to form a Dutch oven. It's two pans with the versatility of 10, empowering you to cook more with less. If you care about your health and strive for a more sustainable lifestyle, then Proclamation Goods is for you. Supplies limited, so order yours now at proclamationgoods.com.
And we're going to talk about the world of bread and bread flour, Holly. And many people, you know, it used to be people would make their own bread at home, and some still do, but the convenience of multiple different varieties of bread at the grocery store seems to be more appealing. And there's a lot of different flour, F-L-O-U-R, than one might think. You know, all-purpose flour, all-purpose, used for everything. But there is, like, dozens of different types of flour.
Absolutely. And there's, so we're going to talk about all-purpose flour and then versus bread flour. There's also cake flour. Cake flour has typically, you can kind of make your own because it has typically the addition of some baking soda or baking powder, depending on, I think, on the manufacturer. But it is a little bit of a lighter flour, the baking flour. And many people, or cake flour. Did I say cake flour?
You just did.
Okay. Cake flour. A lot of people use that with cakes because of the additional
lift. That it'll give the batter.
Nice fluffy cake.
Right.
Which is what you want. So, with that being said, all-purpose flour, you can use that to make cakes. You can use that to make all sorts of baked goods. However,
if you use the right flour for the right purpose, it changes the whole premise of how good the thing is that you're making.
Absolutely. And a lot of times if it says to sift the flour, a lot of people do skip that step, and it can make a difference. And it seems like, I don't know.
What is the purpose of sifting the flour? Is that just to make sure?
It puts air into it.
Air to it, and then make sure everything's broke apart, if there's no clumps or anything? Okay.
Yeah. So that's one thing. And then, there's bread flour. And my friend and I, back in, at the end of 2020, we decided to...
We don't talk about that year. We don't.
Okay. I think that was the end of 2020. Pretty sure. We decided to, together but virtually, make ciabatta bread. And ciabatta bread is a whole process. It is, you almost do make a mother dough, like a sourdough, but it's not quite as intense as making what's the name in sourdough?
The starter?
Starter, yeah. Not quite as an intense process, but it did take like 48 hours altogether. And he only used all-purpose flour, and I read the recipe, and I got bread flour specifically for it, but that's okay. And his turned out a lot more
dense,
flat. Yeah, dense and flat. And mine turned out like how I wanted it to, the ciabatta style bread.
With the all-purpose flour, isn't it? You can get bleached and unbleached. That's another aspect of the flour procedure too.
I'm not really sure if that makes a huge difference, but
well, some people may think bleached. Oh, that's a bad word because that's a chemical.
It's just a process.
I know it's a process. Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, bread flour has the reason why they say to use bread flour versus all-purpose flour when baking bread flour has a higher protein content, so ranging from 12% to 14% more, which makes the bread just basically it provides more elasticity having that protein in there. And it also allows the dough to expand and trap the carbon dioxide process better during the fermentation.
To get that bread texture, that fluffiness and the air pockets in there to do all that, so it's not a brick.
Right. People don't realize like how scientific baking is. You are working with these raw ingredients, and then you are transforming them in a proper way to get your end goal.
Boom. And, well, that looks like 3/4 of a cup. Yeah, it doesn't end well.
Baking really is a science. And not that cooking isn't, like, especially if you're making something like a roux or a bechamel sauce where you do have to combine the right ingredients to create that sauce and you can easily overcook it or undercook it. But for the most part, if you're just, not to discredit any sort of cooking, but if you're sauteing veggies in a pan, it's a lot less chance you can mess it up than making a proper sourdough or even ciabatta or even just some bread.
Right, because if you do it wrong, you take that brick that you've baked and you put it behind the wheel of the wagon so it doesn't roll down the hill type of thing.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you put it with your, maybe some in-laws that you don't like or something.
You can get them to leave quicker.
Here's some bread for you.
Yeah.
Watch them gnaw through it.
Yeah.
So anyway, if you are going to make bread flour is the way to go. Now, more and more people are going gluten-free for whatever reason.
What is gluten for?
Gluten is a protein in bread.
It's the protein, and some in certain procedures, they remove that portion off of the grain in order to get it gluten-free, or how does that work?
No.
Okay.
You just use a different type of flour.
Okay. Because the gluten is part of the grain itself. In the wheat process, is that what we're getting too deep in?
You're getting a little deep.
But people have gluten allergies.
Yeah, absolutely. And some people have gluten sensitivities.
And they may not even know why they are, and they just keep eating, bread things and like, I keep feeling bad, but I like the bread. That could be. No, I mean, people don't put it together.
Right. But
they keep having the same issues, but the diet doesn't change, so the issues never change as well.
Yeah, and you can develop these issues throughout your life.
Right.
Yeah. And some people are born that way, so it just kind of depends. But anyway, so gluten-free flours have now become more readily available, along with gluten-free breads and baked goods.
Oh, you can get this online anywhere.
Right. So it's recommended to use, if you're going to replace your bread with your own homemade gluten-free bread, you want to use either oat flour, sorghum, or buckwheat. And I know you're thinking, okay, if there's gluten wheat, isn't that in buckwheat? But buckwheat is different.
Different type of grain.
Different type of grain. You would know, right?
Yes.
Yes. So oat flour. But, however, I guess there's this thing with oat flour where you have to make sure it's gluten-free because I forget.
Certain varieties
have, of oats.
Yeah, can contain.
Can get cross-contaminated. So you got to keep that in mind. So a lot of times you need to add a protein of some sort to get it to bind. And a lot of times it's going to be egg. Otherwise, people do add things like xanthan gum and even psyllium husk. However,
stick with the egg is what you're saying?
I mean, yes and no. Psyllium husk is...
But if you're vegan or
or if they'll add flaxseed too.
Right, if they don't want to eat an animal thing, product. Then they would have to go with a different route.
Right.
Yeah.
And flaxseed can provide that binding as well. So that's an option too. And sometimes you even just add more water because you need to incorporate that in. Now, a big thing with gluten-free baking is you want to weigh the ingredients versus measuring them. So this is something that gets definitely more scientific.
Well, when you watch like the Food Channel or something like that, a lot of the high-ranking chefs that you see on there, they weigh. They don't measure. They weigh so many grams or so many ounces, and then they pour it. They don't mess with a measuring cup.
No, and it can provide a lot of inaccuracies. Now, not so much with regular gluten baking, because there is some room for error. However, when it comes to gluten-free, if you want to make your own like sandwich bread, you do want to find a true tried and trusted recipe. There's a lot of them. You can find them from the companies that sell gluten-free flour. So like Bob's, Hutchins Mills. There's probably another one. And then you want to make sure that you rely on temperature versus baking time. So if it says bake to, approximately 45 minutes, but bake to 112 degrees or whatever, you can use your thermometer.
Is it more accurate to use a bread machine or the trusted old oven, or does it make a difference as long as you get the temperature where it needs to be?
I'm not really sure for gluten-free baking. I've never gluten-free baked, really, bread. But I would assume
ovens can be very off. If it says 400, it can be 450 or it can be 385. It can be all over the place. That's why people recommend putting an actual oven thermometer in the on the rack so they can actually see they're at on that.
Yeah. So that's another option. Or you can do one of those deals that like you plug in, you just leave it in the oven and then you it has a cord. You want to, I guess, get even more scientific with the gluten-free baking, whether, you know, you weigh the ingredients, use the thermometer, you use a tried and true recipe. Don't go to the magazine stand and it says the best gluten-free bread you've ever had. And it was written by Becky, who just started working for that magazine and has never baked in her life.
Yeah.
So sorry, Becky, but that's what you want to do is find a good recipe.
We've seen that in journalism. Where they don't know anything about what they're writing about, but they make it eye-catching for publicity purposes.
Right. That's the hype.
Yeah.
Speaking of eye-catching.
Walton's Incorporated.
If you want snack sticks that taste good, Walton's can hook you up.
Walton's has the coupon code to get you more for less, which is GROW50, GROW50, to save 10% off your order of $50 or more. And they have a community called
MeatGistics.com, an informational site to help you make the best finished products. So Walton's has everything but the meats. They have seasonings. They have meat grinders, mixers, sausage
thermometers. Stuffers.
They do have thermometers. They probably have scales, you can measure, weigh your ingredients, all sorts of stuff. So they have decades of experience, and in that meatgistics.com website and just at waltonsinc.com, you can find everything you need. And you want to use code GROW50 to save 10% off orders of $50 or more and get free shipping.
Free shipping with that over $50.
For more information, please visit thewisconsinvegetablegardener.com.